Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Hello, welcome to this super, super special episode of the Iron Women podcast crossed with If We Were Riding. So in case you're wondering why you're hearing my voice, I am Sarah Gross and I am one of the hosts of the If We Were Riding podcast with Sarah True. And this evening, just now, we recorded a special episode we brought all of our hosts together of the two shows, and we even had Andrew Messick on, the CEO of Ironman, to tell us a little bit about the decision to host a women's only Kona in 2023, with the men being at an undisclosed location for their world championships for 2023. And then sounds like that will swap for 2024. So that news dropped today in the triathlon world. A lot of people were surprised. Some people weren't so surprised because the rumors have been leaking out for days, potentially weeks. But the news finally dropped officially today, and we wanted to kind of bring together everyone, have a little conversation, talk about some of the pros and cons, which is what you're about to hear. Well, we recognize that there are a few things to be ironed out with this women's only Ironman World Championships in 2023. We as a company, as Feisty Media, wanted to really get behind this and support the women the best way that we can. So we decided to host a training camp in the week leading up to Kona 2023, where we can all train together and then also watch the women as they compete. I mean, who doesn't want a front row seat to history at the first women-only race at the World Championship in Kona? If that's something that you might be interested in, then go to the show notes for this episode and you will find a link that's feistytriathlon.com/Kona training camp waitlist. So right now there's no need to commit. There's no money down, nothing at all. We are just looking to find out how many people are interested in coming to this training camp with us and supporting the women. So head over to the link, just put your email address in and we will keep you posted. So without further ado, on with the show. Hi, Kelly. We are live. Welcome to our very special joint episode of the Iron Women and If We Were Riding podcast. I'm Sarah Gross, the founder of Feisty Media, and I'm here with the amazing Kelly O'Mara, who is a former pro triathlete. A lot of former things.
I know.
Former editor-in-chief of Triathlete Magazine. Currently the founder of Triathlonish. How's it going, Kelly?
I don't know. Is there anything happening today? Anything?
I don't know. A few people had some comments about a few things.
I think what we should really talk about today, Sarah, is doping.
Perfect. Great idea. Yeah. Great idea. Okay. Thanks for joining us, everyone who's there on YouTube and on Facebook. You can, at any time, you can comment and we'll be able to see them here on the live stream if you have comments or questions as we go through. So what we're going to do this evening is a few things. First, we have Andrew Messick, the CEO of Ironman, joining us to talk about the news that they dropped today at noon and what it all means, the all-women's Kona, the men's race somewhere else that we don't even know yet. And then after that, we have all of our hosts joining us from the two shows. So we have Sarah True, who is just back from an amazing win at Ironman Arizona and has won two races this year. She's also come second in Kona. We have Alyssa Gadeski, I think, She's not here yet. We'll hopefully have Alyssa Gadeski, who has been like a longtime supporter of 50 Women to Kona. She's a endurance athlete and coach. And we have Haley Chura, who finished 13th this year in Kona, her best result ever. So we're going to hear from all of them and get all the responses and thoughts from everyone. But first, anything else before we start, Kelly? Did I miss anything?
No, that's everything, right?
I think that's everything. That's everybody and all the things. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Welcome.
Hello, Sarah. Hello, Kelly. How are you guys?
We are good.
Yeah, I think we're probably a little less busy than you today.
What, is something going on?
Yeah.
How was your day?
I mean, it's good to be able to put this out in the public domain and talk about it a little bit. It's been something that's been percolating within the triathlon community ever since we were all together in Hawaii at the beginning of October. But it's good to be in a position where, you know, a lot of the planning stuff is behind us, and we're in a position where we can really start working with our community to help them get ready for what we think is going to be a pretty amazing 2023.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, I guess we should start then with, you know, this has been in the works. Why has this been in the works? Why did this happen? Why go this way? You know, what led us here?
Well, I sat down with Sarah in Kona, and we had a conversation, and you said,
Wait, are you blaming me?
Yeah, this is Sarah's fault.
No, but Sarah said, are we going to have 2 days of Kona in the future? And I said, It depends on the community, and if the community is prepared to tolerate it and welcome us to race twice, then we're committed to it. But I think the reality is, and for a lot of us, you know, who spend a fair amount of time in Kona and who, you know, are, you know, at least fairly dialed into what's going on in the local community, it's clear that the community isn't prepared for us to race 2 days. And it isn't just the Thursday, Saturday. The community isn't prepared for a Saturday, Saturday. The community isn't prepared for one Saturday in October and another Saturday in April. Hmm. The community has said, we're prepared to have 1 day of racing on the Big Island a year. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we're guests there. And we don't have the ability to mandate what the people are prepared to accept. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time with Mayor Mitch Roth and Doug Adams and lots of folks, you know, from the county and from, you know, the communities around Kailua Kona. And it's just clear that it just, you know, we aren't welcome there for 2 days. And so that puts us in, you know, it put us in a tight spot. You know, we'd made two promises. We promised that women were going to get their own day, and we promised that everybody was going to race in Kona in 2023. And we can't keep both of those promises. We wish we could. We wish things were different, but the reality is we had to choose whether we were committed to everybody racing together on one day in Kona in 2023, or whether we were going to move forward with what we think is the right answer, which is having a day for men and a day for women. And when you're forced with that choice, sometimes you have to get a little bit creative.
I think you said this planning's been going on for, you know, a little while, and I think a lot of, you know, people in the triathlon community are aware of that. One of the big things that wasn't part of the announcement today was the other half of that, like where the men are. Yeah. And I think that's at least making a lot of people anxious right now.
Yeah, and I totally understand that, and I wish I could say more, but what I can say and what we can say is that, you know, women aren't racing on Thursday, they're racing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And men who think they're or who thought they were racing in Kona in 2023 aren't. Mm-hmm. And for those people who've already qualified, you know, we'll find a way to let them either move to the new 2023 venue or defer into 2024. But we can't tell them where, but we can tell them don't make non-refundable airplane and hotel reservations. Mm-hmm. Because we know that isn't going to happen. And as soon as we're in a position to be able to tell people what is going to happen, we will. But, you know, there's still a fair amount of, you know, I understand it's an incomplete answer, and I wish it could be different.
Do you think, you know, I think that there's maybe a concern or some concern I've heard about whether the industry is strong enough to support two different races mm-hmm. and two different sides of the world at two different times. So like what's happening sort of behind the scenes, talking to your partners and stuff, are they willing to support the two full days of world championship racing?
I think it's going to be, my short answer is, I think the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a while to sort of settle down, and, you know, it'll be, you know, it's going to be tricky for qualifying for both men and women, women to Kona and men to the other venue. It's going to be a challenge for some of our partners and, you know, folks like, you know, VinFast and Hoka and others, you know, or instead of activating once, they're going to activate twice. But I think that the benefits for an enormous number of athletes for whom racing, you know, getting to Kona and staying in Kona is really quite difficult. And for European athletes, it's a long way away. You know, it's 20 some hours of travel, it's 12 hours of time. And to be able to have a world championship in places that are not as remote and not as far away, I think is going to resonate with certain segments of our athlete base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of people who have been asking for that for a long time, right? Inside. What do you see as, in terms of like the long-term vision, what do you think the advantages are to this two-day format?
Well, I think that we've been really pleased with 70.3 World Championships since 2017, and that having men and women race on different days has been a real success. And I think it's worked for it's been good for men. It's been good for women. It's allowed us to be able to highlight and really showcase our professional and age group women in a way that really isn't possible mm-hmm. with a one day race. And I think, you know, our experience with the Thursday, Saturday in Kona, I think we have a lot of confidence that being able to really tell the full story on two different days of two different pools of athletes, two different pro races, should be a big step up. And the other part that I think is going to be really interesting to see what happens is to have a world championship in a place where different kinds of athletes can be successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kona's hot and it's humid and it's windy. And there's some types of athletes that just don't thrive in that type of environment. And to be able to have an opportunity to be able to move a world championship around, I think it's gonna make for a different type of racing and hopefully better racing. And every other year, each gender will be in Kona. So, mm-hmm. so there's gonna be an opportunity for a little bit more diversity.
I was about to make a joke about certain people coming back out of retirement. Now that it's not in Kona, but I won't. I'll like let that.
So you don't need to tell the Marina von Honecker stories, right?
So then it sounds like this is a long-term plan, like that this is not a one-off for 2023 and 2024, that this is going to keep, that your plan right now is for it to keep going.
Look, I think that the right answer for Ironman, based on where we stand today, is 2 days of racing. Mm-hmm. I think men and women each having their own day is the right answer. It was the right answer for 70.3 Worlds. I think it continues to allow us to be on the front foot and to really be pushing to try to be innovative and do things that are a little bit different. And you know, who knows what could happen in the future in Kona, but right now, that possibility does not seem viable there, which means we're, you know, if we're really committed to 2 days, and I certainly think it's the right answer, You know, it's one day in Kona and one day somewhere else.
Sarah, does that answer all your questions? You feel
all my questions are answered. It's totally fine now. No one has anything else to say, I'm sure. No, I've been surprised at how many, I mean, even on our social media today, we've heard so many different perspectives, like from so many different places. What's the main feedback that you've got today, Andrew?
Well, people, you know, people are, they don't quite know what to make of it, you know, because the Ironman World Championship and Kona have been so interlinked for so many years. It's hard for people to really think about what is an Ironman World Championship that isn't in Kona. Like what is that? And we saw that and we felt that in St. George earlier this year. But at the same time, I think there's people who say the benefits of this, and those benefits to a large extent are, you know, in the ability of, you know, in a world where Ironman continues to grow and we have more and more qualifying races, having 2 days of racing makes it easier for age groupers to qualify. And over, even over the course of, you know, I've been doing Ironmans. I did my first Ironman at Ironman Canada in 2005. And, you know, back then, you know, there was, you know, 100 or 110 slots at every race. And I still wasn't good enough to qualify, by the way. But in Kona as a race was 1,800 athletes. And now we have 40 races around the world, 45 races, and lots of races that only have 40 slots. And so it's gotten dramatically harder to qualify for the world championship in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have more athletes from Asia. We have more athletes from Africa. We have more athletes from Latin America. We have more athletes from Eastern Europe. We have more athletes from Scandinavia. We have more athletes from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And part of what this does by having 2 days of racing is it makes it more, you know, it's more attainable for a really large number of athletes to have a chance to qualify. And we worry that in an environment where, you know, we're continuing to grow the sport and we're continuing to grow Ironman, having, you know, making it so that you, you know, especially if you're a woman, in many, many, many age groups, you have to win your age group to get a slot.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's an awful lot of people who come in second or third in their age group in big competitive races. And to be able to, you know, provide an opportunity for the second, third, fourth, fifth place woman to be able to qualify for the world championships, I think that's appropriate. And it just was never going to be possible in Kona as long as Ironman continues to be a big international competition. And so I think that's a really good thing. You know, and I don't want that to get lost in the whole question around men versus women or, you know, Kona or somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I've been hearing, obviously, Andrew, I've looked at all of the people screaming on the internet, but I've also heard a decent number of people who are like, you know, willing to give it a try. I think the biggest concern everyone has is kind of what Sarah said about how are you going to build up both races so they have the full field, so that all the industry people can go to both. You know, Ironman's going to have to make some, can't charge double, right, for both, for vendors in both spots, right? Like, we're going to have to help out the community to make sure that this really works.
And look, we've got a lot of work to do to think some of those issues through. And we're only at the very beginning stages of saying, you know, we're going to have a women's race in Kona in 2023. What do we want that race to look like?
We want it to look awesome. Okay.
We're going to make it look awesome.
Yeah.
Well, but do we still have all of the same side events? Does everything stay the same? Does it change? And, you know, and just looking at, for example, Expo, I think we want Expo to be different in Kona than from the men's race. I think we want a different type, a different blend of vendors. You know, I think Kristen Meyer probably is a lot more interested in Kona than the other place. But we've got a whole bunch of stuff that we need to think through around how we do that. And we want, both world championships to feel like world championships. We want them to be extraordinary opportunities and extraordinary experiences for our athletes, but we can't ignore the fact that, you know, one of them is going to be comprised solely of women and one of them is going to be comprised solely of men. And I recognize that the women will bring men and the men will bring women. But at the same time, I think we've got, I mean, we have some interesting decisions to make around like what we want the look and feel of each of those races to be. And we're just at the beginning of starting to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually feel kind of bad in case Haley and Sarah who are sitting backstage have any questions for Andrew. So why don't we bring them on briefly? And then there's a few questions coming through our live stream just about the qualifying and the slots. Like, has anything changed in terms of qualifying?
Yes. So one of the things that we're doing starting this weekend, and we've got, well, we still have three more races in 2022. We've got New Zealand, we've got Western Australia, and we have Argentina. Mm-hmm. So starting immediately, we're decoupling men's and women's slots. You know, historically, we've had a certain pool of slots. A race will have 40 slots, 50 slots, 60 slots, 70 slots. And so what we're starting to do immediately is there's going to be a certain number of slots for men. There's going to be a certain number of slots for women. And the relative size, if there's more starters at a men's race, that doesn't mean that proportionally there's fewer slots for women. And so we announced what those slot allocations are going to be. That was part of what we put out today for all of the races for the remainder of the 2023 qualifying cycle. And when we announce the men's race, we'll also at that point put out the men's slots that will be different, and we'll have some races we'll get more slots because those will be ones that we think are more closely linked to the location of the race. But slot allocations will be different, and we hope, and I certainly feel it's appropriate that having one pool of slots from which both men and women are drawn, which is how we've done it forever, is not the right answer for the future. And that we should be able to say that, you know, for any given race, there's going to be a certain number of slots for women, there's going to be a certain number of slots for men, because they're qualifying for different races in different places.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that, being able to treat them as two different things. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Haley,
the pro news, the announcement that came out to the pros today alluded to a change in the number of slots for pros. Is that going to change?
I don't think so, but I don't know the answer to that. And so I mean, our intention is to have equal numbers of slots for men and women. That's for sure. I think our view is that ship sailed. And that's fine, and it's about time.
I think they said they were freezing the men's, Haley, for now.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me, but it sounded like there was there's a lot going on.
Well, I think what you may be thinking of is that we've had a certain number of men, pro men, who've already qualified for the race that up until today was going to take place in Hawaii in October. Now that race isn't going to take place in Hawaii in October, and we're working through how we want to handle those qualified athletes. Do we want to allow them, like our age groupers, to be able to roll those slots into 2024 when we are racing in Kona, or do we want to switch those athletes to the new venue in 2023 and then have a separate qualifying cycle for our pro athletes who are going to be racing in 2024 in Kona on the men's side.
Sorry, do you have a rough idea of when you will sort that out for the men?
Yeah, our intention is to, well, we can't sort it out until we announce the destination.
Right.
And we expect that to be in the second week of January.
Okay. Sorry, men. Just keep training. Do your thing. Very important question. Underpants run. Right. Still going to happen both locations.
Well, you tell me. You tell me whether the underpants run in a women's only race is appropriate or inappropriate.
I mean, it'll be fun, but man, it'll get weird real fast if those weird guys come out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never done it, so don't ask me.
Well, there was a weirdo following Sarah around this year, so with a camera.
It wasn't one of ours, was it?
No.
Good. No, I mean, those are some interesting things. I was thinking about whether that's like a very good idea or a very bad idea, or whether I should just duck it altogether.
Just let the women decide. Yeah, well, it'll be fine.
I feel like, except for you bring up a good point. There is a potential for some creeps, but otherwise it would be a fun experience.
I think the traditions in Kona should stay the traditions of Kona.
Yeah.
And I had, and like Kelly said, for a minute there, I was like, Sarah, me, some creep. But there was a creep already this year, even when we had a COVID under Fans Run, just like following our butts running down the road. Like, that shit happens already. So why not? Let's keep it.
For sure. Oh, we have people in the comments are voting yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Under Fans Run. There
we've got that one decided. So
let us know what the answer to your highly scientific poll is.
Do you need us to sort anything else out for you, Andrew? We know you've had a hard few weeks here.
No, I mean, I think what we want and what we're hopeful for is that, you know, not only women, but men as well feel like I really want to be a part of this. I want to be there. And that, you know, we're making history. And I think it's going to be awesome. And I think that any doubts about whether, you know, the women's pros in particular have the ability to grab and hold the spotlight were put to rest, you know, this year by, you know, the race of, you know, Chelsea and Lucy and everybody else. I mean, it was an extraordinary event and it was an extraordinary competition, and to see as many women in Kona trying to win as they did was awesome. And I think our hope is in 2023, it's even better. And that we're in a position where, you know, we're creating an event that both pros and age groupers are going to say, you know, there's no way I'm going to miss it. And that we can take another step, you know, in Ironman's really sort of proud history of being a place that, you know, supports, you know, women and men for that matter, who are really trying to, you know, make a statement and redefine what's possible and set high goals and achieve them. So we're hopeful and we're, I think, really anticipating an amazing event.
How have TV sponsors responded? Because obviously you have partnerships with NBC, and now all of a sudden, and I'm guessing internationally there's coverage as well, and you have partners with them.
Yeah, so we were, you know, live on Peacock. Mm-hmm. We were live on Facebook. We were live on ARD in Germany. We were live on L'Équipe TV in France. All of our broadcast partners are super excited and are looking forward to two different windows of racing. And so it's better to have two distinct weekends as opposed to the Thursday Saturday comp, you know, mix that we had this year. And so I think this will be better, and we'll have, I think, a great opportunity to be able to have you know, a better broadcast and better support from our media partners.
How much is trying to figure out the broadcast window influencing where the men's championship, well, the alternate venue will be, and when that's going to take place?
Yeah, I mean, like for races that last 7 or 8 hours, it's not so much like a window, a broadcast window is like a broadcast barn door. You know, our partners in general, especially the streamers, have the ability to handle us and to be able to broadcast the race sort of irrespective of when it is. I think their ability to put promotional support behind it, I think, is a function of where it is. And our expectation is that the place that that we announced for the men's race will be one that is very positively received, and one that, you know, resonates with sort of who we are and where we've been and our history and all that. So I think that we're going to be really, we'll be in a really good position to be able to not just broadcast the events, but get promotion and turn them into a big story in the markets that, in the markets that, that we really care about.
We care about all the markets. That's what made me laugh. So.
Cool. Okay. So I think we promised Andrew 10 minutes and we're at 27. So thank you so much for being here. And maybe we'll pull you back in a minute if you do stay backstage. If anyone from the Peanut Gallery has any questions for Andrew, definitely put them in the chat. We do see your questions. I definitely will ask questions that if they relate to quite a lot of people, I will definitely ask those questions. So let's send Andrew backstage. I want to hear what people really think.
I feel like Haley, I feel like you were waiting. I can like just see
me?
You waiting.
Oh, well, I'm super psyched. I think I don't know. I just think I love Unique Races. And I think that the idea of an all women's Kona, like, let's see how it goes. I just think that sounds like a cool thing to try. And so I think it definitely got me thinking. I'm like, oh goodness, I need to figure out how I qualify. So that was my initial reaction.
Yeah, it was so cool this year, right? Like, I think we all so had cool. That sense of like, we had goosebumps, you know, there were tears. We loved watching Chelsea cross the finish line. Like, I think we kind of had that sense that like something really special is happening. And the idea of kind of taking that away was kind of, or like having to go back or take a back step on that was kind of, it was a little bit painful. So I personally prefer the solution, although I do know there are problems. And I know, like, Sarah, when you and I talked a couple days ago about this, you were like, well, not sure. Like, what was your gut reaction, Sarah?
Okay. Ultimately, this is a business, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't go from the 2-day format to the 1-day format because
you promised a lot of people spots already and they've already qualified.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can't put that genie back in the bottle. So when Kona says we can only do 1 day, mm-hmm. like obviously the only solution is either you move Kona altogether, like World Championships is going to go someplace else. You're no longer on the islands, or they come up with the solution they did. Mm-hmm. The problem is so much of the brand's value is caught up in Kona. So you can't just move World Championship. You have to retain some connection to the most iconic, you know, ultra endurance race in the world and that location. So this is the solution. Like, it's, you can make it look all pretty. And like, I think don't get me wrong, there are absolutely some positives, but this comes down to a financial decision for them. The problem that I see is that a lot of the costs are going to be passed on to industry and mm-hmm. media. So I do have concerns, like Triathlon Media is pretty small. How are they going to be able to fund teams to go cover both races? Mm. How are you going to have the marketing budgets for a lot of the endemic sponsors? How can you stretch for two world championships? So all of a sudden, these companies are going to have to make some really big decisions. And like, there's going to be growing pains, obviously. Like, 4 years from now, once this has been established, nobody's going to think twice about it. Mm-hmm. But I just think there's a lot to figure out. But from a business decision, it makes total sense for Ironman. Like, and honestly, people get really caught up in their race experience. Right. You have to remember that, you know, businesses need to make money. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you kind of have to, like, that's the way the world works.
Yeah. I think, you know what?
That's just cynical. Like,
No. That's true.
I'm excited for, you know, the women to have their own day racing, but you can lean a little heavily into the rah-rah stuff without being like, hey, listen,
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a cynical way to say this, right? Or a less cynical way to say the same thing, Sarah, which is that, like, if
wait,
the sport.
Wait, Kelly's doing the less cynical view.
But it's not like rah-rah. If the sport is going to, like, when he was saying we're growing in every market, like, the reality is, except for European men who are 50, right? So if the sport's going to grow in, like, every other market in the future, which is a money-making choice, but it's also like, I'm pro that, you're pro that. Like, we want the sport to grow beyond 50-year-old European men. If that's the reality, then you cannot be limited to how many women were there the year I did it? 700 women spots. Like, you cannot limit yourself to 700 spots for the whole world.
Yeah.
For all the countries. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just not going to work out financially. It's like not going to work out for the sport. It's not going to work out because people are going to leave because they're going to be like, well, this fucking sucks. Right. Like, that's so you have to, if you're going to expand beyond a bunch of like American and German men, then like you have to expand, like that's, and that's not just like a money grab, that's also like reality, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I would argue that the sport should be more about more than just qualifying for Kona.
Well, yeah.
But that's sure. A whole separate conversation. I mean, I would like to think that the sport can grow in a lot of different ways for a lot of different groups of people, not just the people who want to go to a world championship.
But so, like, why do you do Ironman instead of Challenge Roth?
A swim run.
Instead of swim run.
Gravel triathlon.
But you do Ironman instead of the equivalent iron distance event because of the Kona spot. And because they put on good races and
It's a very consistent product. You know what you're getting. Like they're will run. Yeah, but it's, you remove Kona and all of a sudden that carrot that's there for so many people. It's a world championship. People will always go to world championships, but they had to stay on the island in some form. And This is a good one. This is a good compromise.
This is like weaning the 50-year-old men off their Kona addiction. It's like, see, guys, it's still important, but it's just not as important. We can do other things. See,
and we will see fewer of them in their Speedos riding around on Ali.
See, there's so many advantages.
Positive.
I mean. I have a question. One of the things I saw today a little bit, and I think maybe like Sarah, Haley, Kelly, you probably saw more of this, but like, is there any concern amongst the pro women that like actually the industry, the media will not support you, or, you know, like, is that a real concern, first of all? And is that anything that you've been hearing? Mm-hmm.
That wasn't something I thought of, because I know I'll be there. So I'm not, you know, I'll be covering it. No, I'm just kidding. Or like,
and we'll be there to cover you, Haley.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, who else is there?
I think what Sarah True, see, I told you we got to come up with different names, you guys. But what True was saying about like media will have to make choices and industry will have to make choices. And you really hope that doesn't come down to a zero sum where they're like, hey, look, women are nice to have, but right. Like, and I think we're going to have to, one, look at places where it's worked well in other sports, you know, like the Women's Tour de France this year, Women's World Cup, like where have they done it successfully? Mm-hmm. And then I think Ironman is going to have to like subsidize, right? Like they're going to have to like help out those small businesses to make sure they can, like, you can't be buying out the coffee boat, right? Like you can't be like charging double for like some, you're going to have to like help those brands and maybe pay travel for some of the, you know, smaller outlets. Like you're going to have to do that just to make sure that it works these first few years. And then hopefully it kind of like takes on its own life. So I think, I think there is some concern for sure.
I'm thinking like that potentially the concern in my mind wouldn't be so much about gender as about being like, everyone will support the race that's in Kona and not the other one, right? Like, no matter who's there.
Like, I know it's like hard to believe for you, Sarah, but like the overall world still cares more about men's sports. It's weird.
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 Mm-hmm. Why? But things are changing. Like, things are changing rapidly, you know? And I think like what we saw this year in Kona and what we saw, like I use that example too of the women's Tour de France, of the Tour de France Femme, because we had like literally half the viewing numbers of the men's event for like 8 days in France, right? And that's like half the viewing numbers is not the same number of views, obviously, but that's the first year. And it's freaking cycling. you know, like they were still arguing over getting the women, allowing the women to go as far as the men during the race because of their antiquated notions about what women are capable of. So like, I feel like if cycling can like half do it, we can whole do it.
Okay.
All I know is you're going to get the same broadcast coverage from, you know, the media partners. You know, the live streaming is going to be the same. The TV stuff's going to be the same. The expo, I don't know if it's going to feel any different. Racing, it'll probably feel a little different. But Kona's Kona. And I don't think it's on the ground. I don't think it's going to feel massively different. Mm-hmm. Other than there won't be men racing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that will change the energy, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. But we had that this year in a way. I mean, I guess the men were like in the wings getting preparing. So maybe it's more that in your pre-race rides, you won't have the man going 2 inches by you, going 350 watts of Javi. So I don't know. I mean, I think that the race actually felt, it did not feel that different to me. What was different, especially compared to St. George, was that past years when I've done Kona, was when you turn around and you come back down Javi, it was just all women. And that was wild. Like, that was just the wildest thing. And so that was very different. But I didn't feel any difference, like, in the vibe. And I wasn't, like, wishing there were some age group men to catch me or, you know, or anything like that. And I wasn't wishing there were pro men ahead that I was catching in the water. Like, there, you know, there was none of that. And not just the coolest thing ever, though, was having Chelsea running down the Queen K and knowing that helicopter was for her. And I think that was just one of the coolest things that I have experienced in the years that I've been there.
Yeah. And I know in previous years, you know, it was always so frustrating when the top 10 women or top 15 women were coming to the finish line, if you were watching the coverage, and then it was like the cameras would go back to the men, you know, or they'd be like interviewing the men who came through. And there was always this like tension between the media being on the men and the women. And it always felt like the men got a little bit more. So I feel
it's also like a logistics thing from the media standpoint. While you're standing around waiting for the fifth place woman, you're like, well, we might as well interview the ninth place man because we don't have anything to do here. So they just like,
yeah,
why not? And so it just like ends up. And then by the time the fifth place woman comes through, you're like, all right, man, I got to go get some food. I'm tired. So it ends up shortchanging them.
And to be fair, like that still kind of happened this year. Yeah. Like the difference between in the finish line, like when we were sitting there waiting for like the top 10, top 15 women, you know, and that people were clearing out, whereas on Saturday that didn't happen. So I hope we can see some little changes like that too, you know. So Sharon actually asked a question or saying something that I was thinking too, like expos at women's races are fantastic. Like that there may be, like I'm an optimist, as you could probably tell, but like, I feel like, and I had this conversation with Kebby this year, that there might be like some advantages for the women's, for the women's industry. Like if you suddenly have 2,000 women racing, right? The value of your expo space, if you're a women's brand, for example, suddenly goes up and might be worth the money, or you know, you're going to get more foot traffic.
Well, I got the impression from Andrew, that's kind of what Ayn Rand's plan is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody else.
No, I got the impression. I also got half the impression, Sarah, that they're going to be like, well, women don't buy wheels. They don't care about the technology.
All of a sudden, it's just going to be like a tampon booth.
Oh, that'll be unfortunate.
The men's spa day while women are riding. That's what Sharon said. Hilarious.
I do think besides, like, obviously there are many, many, like, we do see the people's, like, I've seen questions all day. I know there are many, many logistical questions that people still have. And I know people who have, like, arrangements already, especially the power couples who, like, we're going to do it together. Or the families, right? Like, who are going to do it together. Like, I know that that's for sure. So, setting all those aside, I think the big thing we haven't talked about yet is the notion, to Sarah's point about, there's a lot of concern about, like, this is just a money grab. We're just going to cram 3,000 people in each day now, right? Like, we're just, going to over-cram the races. They're going to be too easy to qualify for now, and it's going to lose all of its mystique. And I think some of that concern's overblown, but it's a real concern, right? If we just, like, add spots and add spots and add spots, and they roll down and they roll down and they roll down. Does it still retain?
I didn't say it was a money grab. I just said they're a business. You are putting words in my mouth, but Kelly.
Some people have said.
Yeah, I'm not hearing. Me. I did not say that. I defend Iron Man for being a business and operating like one.
Yeah, sure. But I think
other people maybe.
It's a concern being raised many places that they're just going to want to add more and more and more spots, and it's going to lose.
The
cachet. You want it to be hard, right? Like there's an amount where it should be hard, but not impossible. But
I think, do we want more barriers to entry, though? I mean, don't women already have enough? Mm-hmm. Like, do we need to make the barriers higher? I mean, in my 13th place finish, I was not like, oh my gosh, the 700th place finisher really took away my limelight. You know, like that was not a thought that came through my head. And I think, I mean, do you think that about the New York City Marathon? Like do you think it's like too easy to get into it? I mean, even though it's like a lottery, but because there's 30,000 people, or Boston Marathon.
Boston's a better equivalent.
Right. Yeah, I mean, or do you think like that should be smaller and make it only a 2,000 person marathon because it takes away and it should be harder? I mean, I think that if people want to make it harder, they can. They can go for an age group win. They can go for an age group podium. They can go pro. You know, I think there's always ways to make it harder. And I don't know if having more people there, does it take away from your experience?
I think it takes away from your experience. And I certainly am not like overly concerned about how far things are going. I think to Sarah's point about being a business, though, I mean, I think this isn't just True's point. Many people's point about being a business is that it's a self-declared world championship, right? It's not like it's not a governing body. It's like a private company. It's like, this is the world. And so it's only the world championship because we all agree that the best people go. And so as long as you're still getting the best people, then we're good, right? Like then everyone will still be like, well, this is a worthwhile. But if we aren't getting the best people or they decide not to, that's when it starts to be like, well, is this really a world championship?
But are you getting the best people? I mean,
I don't know.
If
right?
you, like, I mean, as Andrew said, like if it's only the first place woman all the time,
then that's not right. That's
I mean,
not.
The second place woman at one race, and then maybe she can't afford to go to another race. And so I don't think you're always getting the best people.
Right now? No. But then like, I think there's a concern finding a middle, like an in-between.
Getting the best-ish people who can afford to go to Kona. That is a very large barrier.
Right. Like how many barriers are we gonna take down? No, I think, and like I love that Kelly's playing devil's advocate on this one, because it's like, you know, and I've heard her say several times, like it's not like they will come and then you build it, which seemed to be previously what Iron Man was saying. Like, if you have more women, if more women join the races, we'll give you more slots. Like, if the slots are proportional. And that always really felt backwards to me. So actually saying, like, actually the expression, as Kelly would say, is like, it's build it and they will come. And I do think that, like, when you give people opportunities, that's how depth is created. So give women the opportunity to be able to build themselves into world champion athletes by maybe it was a little easier to going to be a little easier to qualify in 2023. But, like, I can guarantee you by 2030, it will not be, because people
absolutely.
Will come. Yeah. And I think that's the vision, right? That's where you take that long-term view on, like, okay, maybe it does feel a little watered down, whatever. Like, it's just, if we can all get behind a long-term vision of what we want for women's triathlon, and we want women to be able to qualify for world championships, and we want more, and we want to have an equal platform and equal number of people out there who are performing well, then this is the only way to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I think no matter what, there's going to be a transition period, and you know, some of the transition's going to be pretty quick and some of it's going to take a little longer. But I do see, like you said, it's a longer term vision. And, you know, if it plays out the way that we all hope it does, it's going to be amazing for the sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we have Andrew in the backstage saying that Kelly is incorrect. We are the world championships. Andrew, do you want to come back on?
I didn't know you were still there.
I'm still there, just listening. No, I mean, but I want to just follow up with what Kelly said. We're a real world championship. We are recognized by the ITU. And we went through a series of, prior to my time, very difficult, very, very contentious period with what was then the ITU that ended up in a lawsuit, the resolution of which was that the ITU and by extension, the IOC recognized the Ironman World Championship as a legitimate world championship, 70.3 worlds also. They're legitimate recognized world championships. Now, typically the right to host a world championship is held by the international federation of that sport. So that would be FIFA for football or FIBA for basketball or World Athletics or World Triathlon. However, because the Ironman World Championship predates the existence of the ITU, there was an Ironman World Championship before the ITU existed. The Ironman World Championship is recognized as a legitimate world championship, as is 70.3 Worlds. Okay. So it's not just something that like we dreamed up and just grabbed. It's something we fought for in court and have a fully adjudicated settlement with our friends at World Triathlon.
Wow. I did not know that.
No. I learned that too. Nice. I just learned that yeah. too. Haley, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Oh. No, I'm glad I did though. Thank I feel you, like Andrew. That's a great party fact to know.
A fact, yeah. But people don't represent their countries. This is a whole. We could change everything again, well, guys. And you have to qualify.
But this is part of what sort of makes us unique is that in most sports, the International Federation determines the process by which mm-hmm. athletes qualify for the World Championships. And that it is a federation-based approach, and there's a certain number of like slots. I mean, and Sarah would know better than most about how it works in short course triathlon. But if you look at a whole bunch of different sports, there's a whole process that's federation-driven about who's able to compete in world championships. Part of what makes us different and unique is that we determine, you know, at our sole discretion, the mechanism by which athletes qualify for our recognized world championships.
Okay. I just, before we go,
sorry, if anyone else has... I can't help myself sometimes.
No, I was like, I didn't know that.
That was actually very informative. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Before we go, if anyone has any remaining comments, we definitely want to hear them, but I have to ask this one is how bad is the volcano eruption? Does anyone know? Yeah. Okay, is Kona going to exist, or are we all going to be like, take us?
It's a okay. I actually, guys, I actually do know the people who just left from Ultraman World Champs, and mm-hmm. it's more on the Hilo side. Kona is more okay, so there you go.
Mauna Loa is a super active volcano, and historically, it's erupted. You know, from like 1850 to 1950, it erupted like every 3 years, and it has been through a relatively quiet period recently. Mm-hmm. But I think. I talked to Diana yesterday, and I think the expectation is that among most of the, what are they called, seismologists, that the eruption is going to last a few weeks and then should settle down. Cool. We should be okay for October.
Okay, well, that's a relief. At least we'll have a Kona, so that's good. Did anyone else have any like things on their minds or that we didn't address?
I was taking careful notes for everything that you guys said earlier.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone so much. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. Thanks, Kelly, Sarah, Haley, for sharing your thoughts. This has been really fun. And I hope everyone at home has enjoyed it as well. Thank you for all your questions and comments as well. And for those listening on the Iron Women and If You're Riding feed, should we let Sarah do her sign off? This is our normal time. Sarah and I normally record at this time. That's why we chose it every Wednesday. Sarah, would you like to do the sign off as our tradition, as per our tradition?
You did not let me prepare for this. Oh, geez. All I'll say is thanks for tuning in for our live reaction show. We think it's going to be positive. Everybody needs to just stop being such negative Nancys. Get on board. Racing's awesome. And since I haven't taken a shower since Ironman Arizona, I'm going to go do that. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.